beautiful. And Isaiah said, that's just really, if you want to call him something, give him a name, that's one of his names. He's just wonderful. Mark chapter number 2, let's stand together. And we're going to read these verses again. I have studied all week to finish up chapter number 2. And last night I was praying. Of course, we didn't finish up. We didn't finish up the verses from last week. And just felt a burden last night to go back and finish this up. And we'll close out chapter number 2 in a week or so, a couple weeks maybe. But you listen well this morning. Listen quickly. We'll try to wrap this up. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 18. The disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. They come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece, if filled it up, taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, would you please help us make the Word of God alive. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, move, Lord, in mighty power, bringing conviction and illumination to the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of sinners about their need. Lord, I pray they'd see the Lord Jesus only today as Savior and Lord and able and even ready to save them, Lord, from their sin. Lord, I pray for the redeemed of the Lord. May they see, Lord, again in fresh light and in, Lord, a fresh voice and fresh, Lord, a fresh scene again, Lord, today concerning what Jesus did for us. Lord, may it inspire us to worship and praise you and give you the thanks that you deserve. And for all that you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We said on last week, the setting behind these particular verses seems to still be in the setting of that of the house of Levi. We've seen Levi converted in verse number 14 as the Lord Jesus passed by his way, spake to him simply two words, follow me. And Levi, the Bible said, he arose and followed him. Wasn't long after that that Levi invites the Lord Jesus into his house. He prepares a meal, a banquet of sorts, a feast at table and setting. And there we find Levi with Jesus at the table. And many of Levi's old publican and sinner friends make their way to Levi's house. And what a scene there is. The Bible said, for there were many and they followed him, that is Jesus. And so we're here at the table of Levi, the house of Levi, the Lord's most recent convert. This second encounter here in this text between Christ and the Pharisees begins with this interrogation about fasting. And it would seem like the question they ask has nothing to do with what the Lord said in regard, especially after he dealt with briefly the matter of fasting. The Lord quickly moved it from fasting to a sinner's need of forgiveness and a changed life. And really, this section of Scripture is all about. And we read in Luke's account, if you'll read this in Luke's account, the Bible says that he gave them parables when it speaks of the matter of the old garment and the old bottles, and even gives another parable in there that is left out in Mark's account. But they're parables. They were earthly illustrations that were given to convey a spiritual truth and a spiritual matter. And I believe it all fits together as we see and study these verses. You see, the truth behind these parables in this text is simply this: that Jesus came to make a difference. He had made a difference all through this chapter. He made a difference when the paralytic man was let down through the roof in the opening verses, and the Lord forgave him of his sin and called upon him to arise and to take up his bed and walk. And that man's life on the inside and the outside had a great change made in it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. A change was made in Levi's life as he was a publican sitting by the highway side. He was a liar, a scoundrel, one that had a terrible reputation in town. And yet the Lord came by, called him to be saved and be a disciple and to follow Jesus. And now this man who once was a scoundrel is now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you explain that other than to say Jesus made a change and a difference in Levi's life? What a difference Jesus had made. What a difference could be seen in Levi's life. Who had ever thought somebody like Jesus would be hanging around somebody like Levi? In fact, we see the change and the difference that Jesus makes. As Mark calls him Levi, but other accounts and from this conversion experience, we understand that he's always referred to after this as Matthew. And so we see a change in his name, a change in his testimony, a change in the direction that his life is headed, a change about eternity. Amen. What we're saying is, what a difference Jesus had made. Now Christ, through this text we've read this morning, is going to take a very religious crowd, a crowd steeped in religion, that is practicing religion, that goes to the synagogue, that knows portions of the Word of God, that live a life that would seem like on the outside to be unstained by any kind of vileness or reproach or stench or anything. And the Lord simply through these parables is telling the religious crowd that not only has he made a difference in the paralytic, not only has he made a difference in Levi and those publicans and sinners that had joined themselves to him at the table, but that the Lord has come to make a difference for them as well. And he can make a change in their life. Amen. And so we're preaching this text with the thought in mind on this, what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. That only Jesus can make a difference in an individual's life. Amen. The fact is, we were born. I was headed to my meeting on Wednesday night in North Carolina to preach. And on my way, I seen a window decal. We used to call them bumper stickers. Now they're in their windows. And the window sticker said this. It said, born fine the first time. Born fine the first time. And as I read that, I was reminded, or I immediately made the connection, what that individual or that car was saying. What he was saying is, I'm fine. Don't bother me with a new birth. Amen. Don't tell me I must be born again. Don't bother me with that salvation business. Amen. I am fine the first way I was born. Nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're a publican or a sinner. Amen. A drunkard, a harlot, a whoremonger, a pillhead, a dopehead. Amen. A worldling, a heathen, a pagan. Amen. Or if you're sitting in a Baptist church pew today, the fact is, amen, men must be born again, and only Jesus can make that difference in a man's life. It's not Jesus plus, amen, religion, Jesus plus the Pope, or Jesus plus some religious or political figure. Amen, it is Christ and Christ alone. Amen, it was Jesus that made the difference all along. And may we say again, what a difference Jesus makes. I'm glad that I can stand today and testify Amen. And tell you today what a difference Jesus makes. I'm living proof and a living testimony that, amen, when mom and dad can't make a difference, amen, when the church can't make a difference, amen, with turning a new leaf can't make a major difference, amen, that Jesus made a difference in my life. Amen. I'm different on the inside. He's made some differences on the outside. Amen. I've got a different way of think at. I've got a different way of live at. I've got a different way of talk at. I've got a different place I'm headed. Amen. I'm different through and through, and I testify today what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. You're not born fine the first time. You must be born again, and you must let Jesus make the difference He alone can make. And so we're looking through this text in light of that testimony and that thought, what a difference Jesus makes. And just quickly, I don't want to re-preach it all, amen, verbatim or in detail this morning, but we looked at, first of all, in verse 18, about the contrast of the difference Jesus makes. You see, there are at least three different crowds that are found in this setting. You have the disciples of John, that is John the Baptist. You have the disciples of the Pharisees. And these two groups seem to have joined forces for a moment concerning the matter and the question of fasting that is at hand. A third group is the ones that are simply called and spoken of to Christ as thy disciples, that is the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they stand out. There is a contrast between that crowd and the first two. Amen. They're not acting like the others. There has been a contrast in the difference that Jesus has made in their life. Amen. One was steeped in the old ways of religion. Amen. That being the disciples of the Pharisees, the disciples of John, had found this new religion, this exciting religion, this crowd that, amen, is following a unique personality yet, and have joined themselves to them, and yet seem to have fallen prey to leaning upon, amen, their own new religion. Amen. But may I say, the disciples of Christ, amen, are contrasted to them. Amen. The contrast is simple to identify, amen, by the question that is at hand. Amen. One crowd is fasting. The other crowd in the house of Levi is feasting. Amen. We understand the fasting that was going on by the disciples, especially the Pharisees. That my friend would have come with a long, sad face, had a real somber look, no joy. They would intentionally deform their very appearance so that men would know that they fast. And even though God had said in His law there would be one annual fast in the time of the Day of Atonement, they had gone beyond that and they fasted twice in a week. Amen. Had given themselves. I'm talking about, amen, they've gone the extra mile. They fast on every Tuesday and every Thursday. And they are fasting and they are sad. Amen. They are somber and they are enduring their religion. Amen. But the contrast to Christ's disciples is that they're feasting. They're not sad. They're full of joy. Amen. They're not enduring religion. They are enjoying a relationship. Amen. Can I say there is a difference, a contrast in the difference that Jesus makes in those that He rescues and those that He saves and those that He empowers to be born again. Amen. We're not enduring religion. Some of you today, amen, you're enduring religion. You're enduring a church service. Amen. You're enduring, amen, carrying a Bible. And you endure religious activity. Amen. You know the difference in you and the difference in me and other believers today. Amen. We're not enduring religion. We're enjoying a relationship. Amen. That's what Jesus said. It ain't time to fast. Amen. I'm in their presence. It is time, amen, to break out in singing. It's time, amen, that they would be filled with joy in the presence and the relationship that we have one with the other. The Lord is not condemning fasting. In fact, He said the time's going to come. They're going to need to do that. And they will, but for now, the contrast is I've made a difference in their life and they have joy while you have grief. Amen. Amen. Can I say I'm thankful for the joy that Jesus put in my life? Amen. If you love the Lord, His commandments are not grievous. If you know the Lord, my friend, the life we have been saved to live and the difference that Jesus has made and calls us to be a light about in our life, it is not lived out in sadness. Amen. I don't feel sorry for myself today. Amen. I don't think that I'm missing out on anything. Amen. What little bit of the world in the old life that I did exercise. Amen. I can tell you today I'd far rather be a child of God and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything I know the contrast of the difference that He's made in my life. Amen. The contrast and the difference Jesus makes. We looked at the connection to the difference Jesus makes. And as Christ begins to elaborate in verse 19, and particularly verse number 20, the Lord gives a very veiled revelation. Amen. Of His own crucifixion. Amen. He tells simply in verse 19, can the children of the bride chamber fast? Why, the bridegroom is with them. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. And you have to reconcile this later. Amen. You remember the disciples came to the Lord, or a man came to the Lord with the Lord's disciples and said, Lord, will you cast this devil out of my son? I asked your disciples to do it, and they could not. And Jesus spoke the word that the devils are cast out. And the disciples said, well, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus looked at them and said, amen, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. And so the Lord was saying, you fellas are going to have to learn, amen, that fasting is important, and you're going to need to lean in upon that and use that discipline in your spiritual life. Amen. But right now the Lord is saying they cannot fast. I'm with them. Verse 20, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. I can't re-preach it all, but there's a connection here at Christ that gives a very veiled insinuation about, but it is there. And it's more clear to us today than it would have been in that day when He spoke it, as He is dealing with, amen, that though now it is a time to be joyful, there was soon to come a time for Him to use the Lord's words, be taken away. Amen. Isaiah 53 used the word taken in reference to, amen, the Lord being taken from prison and from judgment. Amen. I believe the veiled description that Christ is giving is that of His own suffering, His own death and crucifixion and burial and ultimate resurrection, through which the change He makes is possible. Amen. You know Calvary and the empty tomb and the fact that we serve a risen Savior, amen, is the empowerment of the change that Jesus makes. Amen. You take the cross out of the equation. Amen. You take Christ having been buried in 3 days, risen again from the grave. There is no power, amen, that can change our lives. Amen. I'm thankful today. You say, how in the world did Jesus make a change in your life? Amen. I put my faith in everything He did 2,000 years ago. Amen. I believed in Him and on what He had died. Amen. And in that and through that and by that, His grace made a difference in my life. Amen. I wasn't baptized to have made a difference. I didn't join the church and connect me to a difference that Jesus could make. Amen. I didn't start doing a little better one day than I did the day before in my life. Amen. The Apostle Paul put it this way, but God forbid that I should glory. amen, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You see, he knew, Brother Larry, the connection, amen, of the cross to his life. And it was the cross, and Christ used the cross, amen, to bring forgiveness and the new birth and a change of life, amen, to him. And if you think you're going to go to heaven, if you think you're going to be okay in eternity and bypass that connection, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Amen, you are deceived, and the God of this world has blinded your eyes. And may the Holy Ghost, through the preaching today, rip it off and let you see that the cross and the empty tomb is the only way to be saved today. Amen. He deals with the connection to the difference Jesus makes. Amen. The time is coming when, amen, the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. And yet he ever lives today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Making intercession for sinners that have come to him by faith, and for the redeemed of the Lord as we need him on a daily basis. Ain't you glad you got a connection with Jesus Christ? Amen. You take Jesus out of my life, all I am is a religious leader. You take Christ out of my life today, all I am, amen, is another deadbeat preacher like, amen, there are all across the country today lost in their sin. Amen, I'm not depending on anything other than Jesus and what he done, the connection to the difference that he made. Amen, we see the contrast and the connection. But quickly now, let's look at these parables for a moment. And let's look at, and I know it kind of seems redundant, but I don't think it is, the conversion in the difference Jesus makes. And Jesus did not come to make a little difference. He came to make a total difference.
Amen.
Amen. These parables teach several truths about the conversion that Jesus makes in differing our life from what we were when he found us. And so let me give you three things and I'll be done quickly. The necessity of conversion. I believe today with all my heart that when Christ gives these parables about the old garment, the old bottles, the new cloth, the new wine, that all of these are illustrations and lessons that are teaching, if they're teaching anything, it is lessons concerning the necessity of conversion. There is a necessity. You must be converted. Amen. You must be changed. There must be not only just a minor difference, a little difference, not a difference you can get credit for, but in that difference it is made, an absolute conversion of life from the inside out, amen, that only Jesus can get the glory and the credit for. You say, what do you mean the necessity of conversion? Amen. Let me say today, the old garment, and I need you to listen here. Please listen. I'm going to be as quick as I can. I'm trying, all right? Amen. But the old garment that Christ speaks of and the old bottles represent the old life, the old heart, and the old nature of man. The old Adam, the first Adam, the old nature that is depraved and sinful and wicked and couldn't do right if it tried. The old nature, the old heart, amen, the old life that came forth from the mother's womb speaking lies and was conceived in sin. And my friend, gone from the womb astray from God. Amen. Old garments and old bottles represent, amen, everything about the old life, the sinful life, amen, the natural life, the life in which we were born in. Now you ain't gotta be, amen, you can be young and still be an old garment in an old bottle. You was born an old garment. You was born an old bottle. Amen. You say, I ain't old. I'm 12. I'm 15. I'm 18. Amen. Oh no, friend, spiritually. Amen. There is an old man on the inside. amen, that needs, my friend, and testifies of the necessity of conversion. Amen. You say, what do you mean? When Jesus speaks, let's look at the old garment and the old bottles. Amen. The old garment, and I said this on last Sunday. Amen. But let me say it again. When Jesus speaks about the old garment, amen, He is describing a garment that is torn, that is tattered, and that is threadbare. He said, you've got an old garment and it's rent. And it needs some attention put upon it. Amen. It doesn't have, it ain't something that, amen, you'd be proud to wear. It's not something that, amen, would gain you some notoriety. You, amen, you don't wear this old garment and get on the cover of, amen, some venue of a magazine that, amen, deals with wardrobe, clothing. Amen. You're not going to be some GQ model. Amen. On the front cover wearing your tattered old garment. Amen. It's ripped up. It's torn. Amen. And I know in these days, boy, amen, they like the ripped up blue jeans and the ripped up shirts and they think that's cool. But, amen, Christ is saying that ain't cool. That, amen, that's something that you ought not want to flaunt. That's something that, that is something that you ought to be ashamed of. Can I say when it comes to the old garment, amen, beyond the clothing, I don't even want to try to take on the clothing issue today. Amen, the old garment represents the old man. Amen, and sin, and you know what sin does? Sin leaves your life torn and tattered and threadbare. Amen, I know we're living in a culture and a generation. Amen, they're proud of their sin. Amen, here in just a few days, it'll be the month of June that, amen, the bunch of reprobates in our nation have called Pride Month. Amen, they'll march in our streets and they'll have parades. Amen, even your Samsung and Android and Apple phones will send you, amen, all sorts of stickers on your phone of rainbows and pride. My friend, you know what they are? Amen, they're flaunting their old garments. They're proud of something that Jesus said. Why, a sane person knows if a garment is torn, it needs some attention given to it. Buddy, people don't want attention given to their spiritual man. Amen. But your old man, your way of thinking, your way of belief, your way of acting, your attitude, your spirit, your actions, amen, testify of the necessity of conversion. They're tattered in the eyes of God. Now you may think you're fat. Amen. You may have the spiritual mentality that, amen, is the mentality of this generation with their, amen, their blue jeans all ripped up, tore up. And if you want to do that, that's fine. You look like a bum, but that's your business. They're unashamed of it. If they're unashamed of it, they'll not get mad if I preach about it.
Amen.
Spiritually, you may have that mentality. It ain't that big a deal. I'm fine. I'm cool. You ain't cool in the eyes of God. Your tattered soul, your tattered heart, your torn, tattered, threadbare spiritual life before God is an absolute testimony that you must be born again, the necessity of conversion. The old bottles, quickly, the old bottles, amen, representing the old life, heart, and nature of man. When Christ speaks of them, amen, the implication to me seems to be at the old bottles, they are empty, they are hardened, and they are worthless. You don't put new wine into old bottles. Why? Because those old bottles, they are empty, and upon being emptied out, they weren't glass bottles or clay bottles. They were bottles, they were containers made out of oftentimes goat or lamb skin, some sort of skin bottle that they would skin an animal down completely, and they would tie the eggs together and they would stitch it up, and there through where the neck portion of that hide would be, amen, would be where they would pour that out. Well, when those old bottles were made empty, amen, and they would be laid aside, they would begin to harden. Amen, they're empty. They're now beginning to harden to the place that Jesus said, you cannot put new wine in that. Amen, because it is worthless. It's not good for anything anymore. And I say the old man is empty, and the old man is hardened, and the old man, whether you want to admit it or not, he is absolutely worthless. And all that man in all his goodness and all that he has to offer, amen, in all he, listen now, not just in his sin is he worthless, in all his righteousness he is worthless. Even in his righteousness he is empty. Even in his good deeds he is hardened. He is worthless. In Christ is saying, amen, there's old garments and there's old bottles there. There is an old man that needs a conversion in his life. Notice with me, number two, the newness in this conversion. Hang with me now. Amen. Jesus speaks of, amen, some new things. Amen. We have old garments, old bottles, but Brother Larry, he speaks of a new cloth and of a new wine. New cloth and new wine. Amen. And so what I want you to understand is when he uses the word new, this is not new in the sense of time, but new in the sense of kind. Not time, but kind. A whole different kind of garment. A whole new kind of bottle and wine. He speaks of a new cloth. Verse number 21. In verse number 22, it's new wine. And in the end of verse number 22, it's new bottles. Not new in time, but new in kind. Everybody look here. You know what Jesus is saying? Brand new. Brand new. The idea that Jesus is giving here is simply this. Amen. You do not need a patchwork job done on your old garment. Amen. You don't have an old garment and a new garment and say, well, I'm going to hang on to this old garment by cutting me off just enough of the new garment and then patching on the old, and then voila, I'm okay. Jesus said, if you do that, if you're going to try to make the old compatible with the new, what is going to happen is you're going to wind up with a worse tear, a worse rending, and a garment in even worse shape than it was in the first place. Jesus is saying that would be foolish. Would be foolish for me to take one of my old suit coats that maybe the stitching is coming out, or, amen, a button has been busted off, because, amen, you know there ain't no preacher ever really preached till he's busted a few buttons along the way. Me run down to the, amen, the, I don't know where we'd go today, amen, run down to the Dillard's or to the Brooks Brothers store, and buy a brand new suit. Bring that brand new suit home and start cutting on it to patch up an old suit. I don't need to do that. Amen. What I need to do is take off the old and put on the brand new. Yes, sir. That's what Jesus is teaching. Does that make sense? Amen. Jesus is telling them. Now don't forget, they're asking about fasting. They're asking about religion. They think they're good enough. And Jesus has said, amen, the condition of your soul testifies, amen, of the necessity of conversion. And in that necessity, understand, I did not come to reform and do a patchwork on the old. I came to give you a whole new garment. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm glad Jesus, Oh, I'm glad salvation and the difference that Jesus makes is not a patchwork salvation. He did, listen, He didn't come and die and give His life and be buried and raised again the third day and ever live so He could patch us up. He did all of that, Brother Bob, so and He could take off our robes of unrighteousness, our tattered far country garments, and give you a brand new best robe that He had prepared for us.
Amen.
Believe that's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
No patchwork salvation here.
Right.
You know what the problem is? Today, you say, boy, you're talking a lot about the problems today. There's a whole bunch of problems need to be addressed. You know what the problem is? Folk, even sitting right here this morning, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to reap all the things that sin is going to do to your life. You want to cut on the gospel and cut on the Word of God and cut on the Savior and just take what you think you know you need or what you like and get along with so you can patch up your life. My friend, you try to have a patchwork salvation, you will bust hell wide open just like somebody who's never even heard the gospel like you're hearing. Jesus does not offer a patchwork. Oh, you must understand. Amen. There is newness here. There is newness. Amen. In the matter of the garment, not a new cloth, not a patch. Amen. A brand new garment. We illustrated with the prodigal son last week on how that he ran to the far country. Amen. Spent all that he had, was in the whole pit, and came to himself, ran back home to daddy. Amen. Thinking I'll just be a servant. Amen. But the Father restored him as a son. Amen. And took from him the old tattered far country garment, stained with the far country. Amen. The stench of the hogs upon him. Amen. He took all of that off and said, bring hither a best robe and put it upon him.
Amen.
That's what Jesus does. He doesn't patch up the old. Amen. He gives a brand new garment. The matter of the old bottles and the new wine. Here's what Jesus said. You try doing that and you're going to blow up. You try doing that, you won't be able to contain it. There'll be something on the inside of you that explodes. I'm convinced that's why so many blow out. After they make a profession of faith, they're looking for some new wine, but they want to hang on to their old bottle.
Amen.
I'm hearing them go by there, Mr. Van. I'm hearing them go by. They ain't out preaching me. Hallelujah. Everybody listen here. Amen. Hey, Jesus said the only way that the new wine can be handled is new wine must be put into new bottles.
Amen.
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 Notice in the text, He speaks about trying to put new wine into old bottles, and people do that.
Right. Yep.
He said what you need is new wine in new bottles. Notice with me, there is no taking old wine and putting it into new bottles.
Right.
You see, it doesn't work if you're going to try new wine in old bottles, or you're going to try putting old wine into new bottles. Amen. You're gonna wind up with a mess on your hands. Jesus said, here's what I've come to do. I've come to bring new wine, but I've come to bring new bottles. And the only way you can handle the life that I'm going to give you and the change and the difference I'm going to make in your life, you got to have a new bottle to hold the new wine. What is Jesus teaching? Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
What is Jesus teaching? Amen. John, you have to make some adjustments there. We got the doors closed back there. Amen. What is Jesus teaching? Everybody listen now. Here's what he's teaching, A.L. He's teaching the old is incompatible with the new.
Amen.
You better understand what this preacher's saying today. The old is incompatible with the new. Our generation is plagued, Brother Larry, with people that think I can claim religion, I can go to church and still live in my old garments with my old bottles and try to somehow rectify and reconcile and make compatible that will not mess together. Jesus is saying, Mike, he is saying the old is incompatible with the new. If you're going to come to Christ and be saved, you just might as well understand this before you come.
Right.
He's going to make such a difference and change and conversion in your life, you can't live the old life anymore.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
That's good preaching.
Amen.
Notice with me the newness in the whole of this text. We see a true Christian is one who receives newness. Newness of what we see in the whole context of the chapter. I won't preach all this, but there is a new life. There is a new joy. Hey, by the way, there is a new master. Amen. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees and thy disciples. Amen. Who are thy disciples? That's the Levi crowd. Amen. That's been saved and has a brand new master now. Amen. They're not following John. They're not following a religious zealot. They're not following some form of religion. They are following the master. I say, I'm glad when I got saved, I got a new master. A new master. Amen. And may I say, oh, listen to this in this text. Amen. Here's a newness that is received in the heart of a true child of God. You get a new opposition. You quit fitting in with people who don't know the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about us being in opposition with them. Amen. It wasn't the disciples of Christ that picked a fight and a war and a moment of strife. Amen. With this other crowd, it was the other crowd that seen the new life, that seen the new joy, had seen the new master in their life. And my friend, they found out, amen, this thing of being a Christian comes with a new opposition. If you think you're going to be a child of God and get along with this world, amen, you are fooling yourself. You'll either have to deny the one who saved you, which is an impossibility, or you'll have to deny this world their hold and their claim on your life. Oh, that's good preaching. Can I give you another problem I'm seeing in our generation? It's those who claim to want the newness of life, but they don't want the world to reproach them. Why did you even want to get saved in the first place then?
Man.
Amen. Amen. What have they got that we're worried about? Amen. What do they have that we're missing out on? Amen. I tell you, I'm a missing out on the hangovers. I'm a missing out on the regrets. I'm a missing out on the scars that I've seen out there. Amen. I'm missing out on a lot of things. And I can say, thank God He gave me a newness of life. Amen. He made all things new in me.
Amen.
There is a new opposition. You young folk better listen. Girls, listen. If you're saved, you're not supposed to be able to get along with the world.
Amen.
The world, mad friend, ought not be comfortable around you.
Amen.
They ought to know, amen, they ought to know we love them. They ought to know that we desire, amen, to be friends and friendly with them. Amen, just on that level, when they get around us, they ought to know, amen, there's something about this man, there's something about this woman that ain't like me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 He didn't come to patch us up, but to put a brand new robe on us. Amen. Notice with me the necessity and the newness. I got to quit. Notice the neglect of conversion in the text. I sure wanted to preach on the verses following, verses 23 through 28. But you'll find here in the verses following, they show the Pharisees, they move from the matter of fasting. We fast, why don't y'all fast? Religion. Jesus said, I ain't come patch your religion up. I came to give you a brand new garment, a brand new bottle so you could hold the brand new wine. Now, in those following verses, we're going to find it's going to be the fourth encounter in the chapter of Pharisees trying to pick a fight with the Lord, and it's going to be over the Sabbath. Well, we've seen you and your disciples walking through the field, and they reached over and got some corn and grain, started peeling it and eating it in the journey. You know what they done? They're going back to their old garment and their old bottle right after Christ said, I got something brand new to give you. They neglected the whole message. It went. It went. They neglected the message of conversion. Would not give up their old garment. They would not give up their old bottle. They neglected the difference that Jesus could have made in their life. I watch them do it every weekend in this place, and for 25 years, I guess, nearly of preaching, and just people that neglect the gospel message that Christ has the power to change their lives. Jesus spoke of this in more direct terms. Can I show you? I meant to be done right. Amen. Actually, right now is when I'm supposed to be done, so I'm not as late as I think I am. Will you look in Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Let's see something. See if there's anything we can glean here. Because Luke gives a third parable that Mark leaves out. And there's no problem with that. It's all Holy Ghost inspired, exactly the way the Lord wanted it in here. Thank God He let Luke pin this down so we could learn something. Notice with me in Luke chapter number 5, verse 36. And He spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh the rent. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. The new man, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst, and the bottles be spilled, and the bottles shall perish, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. That all sound familiar? Look at verse number 39. No man, He's going to give a third parable, no man, also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, listen to this, the old is better. Jesus just gave two parables about newness. He said, I know what's getting ready to happen. He prophesied before it ever did. He said, y'all are getting ready to turn away from the oldness. You ain't even tried the new, and you're going to walk away saying, the old is better. How do you know the old's better if you ain't even tried the new? I'm not mad. My heart is heavy in these days. There are young folk coming up that think the old is better. All the old that's out there, all the old that's being poured out for them to drink, they think the old's better. How do you really know the old is better if you ain't even tried the new? And you'll neglect the way that Christ our Master has called us to live, saying the old is better. You are a fool. There's only one way to be saved. You got to let go of the old. Can I illustrate this in Mark chapter number 10? I was going to look at it. We won't look at it. I'll just tell you, Sister Candy's coming to the piano. Everybody go, it's almost over. Bartimaeus is by the highway side. He's blind. He hears Jesus is passing by. Amen. He begins to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. They come to him. They say, you need to be quiet now. The Lord's busy with everybody else. The Bible said, yet rather he cried out the more, Son of David, Jesus, Master, help, have mercy on me. They couldn't shut him up. You know why? He was tired of the old way he was living. He knew that while the Master was passing by, that was the only way. That was the only way for him to get the help that he needed. The Bible said Jesus stopped. He called out to Bartimaeus to come to him. You read it, Mark chapter number 10, the last few verses there, that text. The Bible said, so he cast aside his garment, came to the Master. What an illustration. What an illustration of what Jesus has come to do and the difference that Jesus has come to make. You'll never enter into conversion. There'll never be a witness raised above your life. You'll never be able to stand in the house of God or in public or to anybody and say, what a difference Jesus makes. Until you are first willing to cast aside the old garment. Why would you want to leave here with old, tattered, threadbare garments when Jesus is saying, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you newness of life. Why would you want to leave empty today with an old bottle when Jesus said, I've come not just to bring you new wine, but to give you a whole new bottle that you'll be able to endure and enjoy the newness of life. Here's what I know. There'll be young folk that are neglected again today. There'll be mamas and daddies that are neglected again today after hearing a message like this. It ain't the greatest message you've ever heard or will ever hear. You're not listening to the greatest preacher there's ever been. But you're hearing the Word of God and you're being told what Jesus died and was buried and rose again to offer you a difference. It ain't enough to have an experience. You better know you got some new things on the inside. That newness and that new vessel ought to be being conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. What's new about you since you made a profession? What's new about your heart? What's new about the way you think? What's new about the places you go? See, Jesus doesn't make a small difference. He makes a total difference. He doesn't even make a big difference. He doesn't make a little difference and he doesn't make a big difference. He makes a total difference. Let's stand together. What a difference Jesus makes.